Anyone want to guess if these are igneous, sedimentary, or metamorphic rocks?
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Today we're going to go on a hike, which you all know, but before we go on a hike, I brought some of my rocks along that are from my collection, and I was going to show you guys some of them, and you can ask me some questions, and we can talk about some of the various rocks that I have with me today. You guys know any rocks?
I know amethyst.
Amethyst?
Amethyst, yeah.
Wow, okay, what is amethyst used for? Do you know?
Just an amethyst.
Very good, yeah.
I love amethyst.
And as you might be able to guess, this is used as a gemstone. For people's jewelry, earrings, rings, and stuff like that. And this specimen actually comes from Ontario, from up north. And I collected it up there one summer. Can you name anything else?
Crystal.
A crystal is sort of a part of a rock. There's a crystal within a rock. The three major groupings of rocks. There's sedimentary rocks, there's igneous rocks, and there's metamorphic rocks. Let's maybe talk about igneous rocks. Do you guys know where igneous rocks come from? They're also called volcanic rocks.
Volcanoes,
yeah. So there's various different kinds, and I have a couple different ones with me today.
Is this one of them?
Yeah, this is obsidian. It's also called volcanic glass, and the reason why is it's made up of the same mineral that makes up glass in your windows. And if you clank them together, it sort of sounds like glass.
No, I like the amethyst. It's a perfectly good color.
Now, something interesting about obsidian is, a long time ago, people used obsidian as a cutting tool. If you run your finger along it, try running your finger along it. It's quite sharp.
Am I?
It's not going to cut you. It's not that sharp. But it could be sharpened. So they would make chisels and hammers and arrowheads out of it. And this comes from the western United States. I collected these in Oregon. All right. Does anyone think there's a rock that floats in water? Or does
maybe.
That just sound silly?
Maybe there is.
Sounds silly?
I think it might be true.
Well, you're actually right. And I'm going to show you guys. This is also a volcanic or an igneous rock, and it's called pumice. Do you guys have a bowl that I could use?
Oh, it's light. Oh, wow.
Is it light?
Yeah. Like, it looks like it'd be really heavy.
This is what they use when, you know, in the bathtubs, right?
Yeah,
is it the same thing? Yeah. So when you scrub your soles of your old
dirty
feet.
It's really white.
Well, let's see what happens when we put it in water. But it is floating.
It is floating.
Yeah.
Pumice, if you run your finger along it, you can tell it's very rough. It's volcanic. And it's full of air bubbles. You can see the air bubbles, actually. The air coming out of the rock right now. And that's why it floats.
Yeah.
I like this.
Beautiful stuff.
Okay, we can talk about this. Anyone want to guess if these are igneous, sedimentary, or metamorphic rocks?
Can I hold it for a sec?
Sure.
Sedimentary.
You are correct. This is borax. And
is that the stuff you use for cleaning?
Isn't borax the brand name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
but
borax,
it probably has borax in it.
You can catch it.
It is
yes.
Used
it's kind
for,
of soapy.
For farm. And this one is called cancrenite. And both of these come from the Mojave Desert in California. They're both sedimentary.
Okay.
They're both evaporites. They're formed by the evaporation of brines, of salty, you know, if you put salt in a pan and boiled it off, you'd have salt crystals left over. That's how these form. Who's seen the movie Jurassic Park? Do you remember in the movie how they got the dinosaur DNA? They found the dinosaur DNA in a piece of amber.
So that's amber?
This is amber. Jurassic Park is a little bit science fiction, but there is some truth to it. Because what amber is, it's tree sap that's been petrified. And if there was something that fell into the tree sap thousands and thousands of years ago, it would have become stuck in the amber. So there's no dinosaur DNA in this amber, but if you have a look at it against the light, you guys should be able to see bugs inside the piece of it.
Yes, I do see bugs.
It's easiest if you hold it up to the light.
So your job takes you all over the world, it sounds like.
It can. It can. Depending how much you want to have it take your own. For the first couple of years, I really wanted to sort of get out and learn as much geology about different parts of the world as I could. And now that I'm ready to settle down, I want to find myself something close to home. Okay, anyone want to guess what this is?
Metamorphic rock?
Sedimentary rock.
Okay.
And it's the same as these. It's an evaporite. And where I found this is just called Death Valley. Has anyone heard of Death Valley?
No, I like the name.
You like the name? Okay, Death Valley is it's in California and in Nevada in the States. And it's significant because it's one of the hottest places on Earth. And it's about 200 meters below sea level. So you have a lot of heat and you have a lot of evaporation. And what this is a sample of salt. You guys believe me?
Yes.
Because if you don't, if somebody wanted to, they could lick one of the sort of cleaner areas and it would taste like salt.
Who wants to try that?
Anyone Ronan, brave enough?
Do you want to try it?
No.
You like salt, Ronan.
Yeah, I like salt.
Caleb, do you want to try?
Yeah, it's salty.
The rock's not floating anymore. It's in the bottom.
Anyone want to try to guess what this is? And I'll give you guys a hint. You can sort of see some...
wood.
Very good. This is petrified wood.
Does that mean it's really frightened wood?
It's been buried under ideal conditions. The minerals have been replaced. It's turned into rock.
Which way is it going?
If I had the time, I prefer to always go out and find my mineral specimens. Who wants to guess what this is? I'll give you a clue. It's very similar to something else on the table.
Amethyst.
It's the same mineral as amethyst. When it's purple, it's called amethyst. When it's white or clear, it's called quartz. And when it's pink, it's called rose quartz. This is another stone that gets used for a lot of jewelry a lot. It's called jade.
Jade.
Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah. Heard something about jade.
I have a piece like that.
China? Yeah. Jade China.
And I found a blue rock in the park.
Yeah, I found it from a savvy precious stone.
This is apatite. And this is also a gemstone. Although this isn't, no, you wouldn't eat this. This isn't a very clear and pretty piece that you'd want to use for a piece of jewelry. But if you did find a nicer looking piece, you could use these as for jewelry. And that comes from Ontario, from near Bancroft. Brazil has some great amethyst, and you find it in rock shops, and it's like thousands of dollars. Hello. Ice age now is done. In these high seas, creatures run from the big sea scorpions, the Eurypterida. Silurian is from a tribe in Wales, and I mean Britain, not the mammals with a tail and a blowhole. They didn't exist yet, oh no. The first fish with jaws came on the scene. I don't mean jaws like the shark that makes you scream in Spielberg's movie. They didn't exist yet, groovy. Silurian, the ice age now is done. And these high seas creatures run from the big sea scorpions, the Eurypterida. Insect relatives made it to the land. I don't mean Auntie B or Uncle Dan who snores, but centipedes and spiders on the shore. Vascular plants had water conducting tissue. I don't mean Kleenex when you sneeze and go at you, that's rude, but veins to pass their gas and food.
and grow much larger. Silurium. The ice age now is done. In these high seas, creatures run. From the big sea scorpions, the Eurypterida. Photosynthetic water plants gave protection. And I don't mean like a goalie's pad collection in the goal zone. They blocked UVs by making ozone. And mountain building was a major event. I don't mean bulldozing everywhere you went in the nation. I mean the eastern Appalachians. Silurium. The ice age now is done. In these high seas creatures run. From the big sea scorpions, the Eurypterida.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
A couple more minerals from Ontario. You guys see the blue mineral? It's not often you see a blue rock.
I've got one like that.
I've got a totally blue one, flat.
So, besides jewelry, what else can we use rocks for?
See, the thing is, I collect rocks that are pretty, so I usually collect rocks that are useful jewelry. But we will get to... Actually, I do have a rock in here that we're going to talk about, which is local, and it's very sort of important in the construction industry, but we'll get to that in a second. Have you guys seen anything like this before?
Oh,
is it slate?
Is it mica?
It's mica.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to, it peels off kind of like a book. Books of mica. You just said slate. And right here, I have a piece of slate. Does anyone want to guess what slate might have been used for?
Pavement?
It's used for building.
Yeah.
Roofing?
Yes, roofing. Probably 150 years ago, probably most of the roofs would have been made of slate. Nowadays we use different materials for it, but a long time ago they would use slate. And you can tell it's a very flat stone, and you could lay it on your roof, and the water would run right off the slate.
Do you think that rocks hold magical powers? You know how some people say crystals hold, carry energy and have magical forces? What do you think of that?
I know that there's people that really believe it, and they put certain crystals on the corners of their heads for energy, but I really don't know. This is the rock I just mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone want to guess what this might be? Sedimentary, igneous, metamorphic.
Is it hard?
See if you can scratch it with your fingernail.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the scratch?
You should be able to scratch it with your fingernail. This is a really soft rock.
It is scratch right here.
And it's called gypsum. And this actually comes from a mine, which is close by in Hagersville. It's about 20 minutes away, and they mine gypsum there.
Is it metamorphic?
It's sedimentary.
Okay.
And it's also an evaporite similar to these rocks here. And what they use gypsum for is wallboard, the board that you guys have in your house, the walls. Mm. You guys seen that? If you go to the Home Depot, they have these big slabs of wallboard. And if you've had renovations done on your house, you've certainly seen it. They also use it in fertilizers and in small amounts in cement. And it's very important for the building industry.
Drywall. It's also called drywall.
Drywall.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the word.
Yeah.
Yes.
And finally, these are some of the rocks that we're going to see today. This is dolostone, or dolomite, whichever you prefer to call it. This actually came from West Bruce Falls. I was up there earlier on this week, and I picked these up. So you guys are going to see more of these up there.
Is it special, really special?
So is that what most of the escarpment is, dolomite?
Dolomite and shale. And I don't have any shale with me, except this is a metamorphic rock, but it used to be a sedimentary rock. It used to be shale. It undergoes a lot of pressure, and it is slate.
Okay.
So this is, it's sort of similar to shale, and we're going to see some shale up there, although it's going to be difficult to get to it.
Behind the falls?
Distance. Yeah, you'll see it behind the falls.
So this, you're saying, is a sedimentary rock, right?
Yes.
And most of Webster's up there is sedimentary.
Yeah, it's all sedimentary. Most of it is dolomite, and then there's some sections that are shale. And I'm just going to show you guys one more thing. Something is dolostone, okay? So if you take a knife and you scratch the rock just a little bit, very hard. Okay, and what I have here is is hydrochloric acid, okay? And you guys don't want to get this on your fingers, you don't want to get it in your eyes. But what you can use to identify certain rocks is you can put a drop of acid on the rock, and if it's dolomite, the mineral that makes up dolomite is going to react with the acid and you can see bubbles. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
The ones that are close? Yeah. That's how you can tell it's dolomite. If you took a piece of shale or slate and did the same thing, hopefully it's not going to bubble. You're not going to see any bubbles.
Which one do you like most, then?
Just sort of, what does the geologist do?
I would say you can sort of group it into three main categories. One would be resources, mining. Mining for minerals, mining for precious stones. You can include oil and gas exploration in that. Secondly would be sort of academia, which includes all of our professors in the universities that do research, and then certain people that work for the government that do things like volcanology, paleontology, they might do seismology, they study earthquakes, that sort of thing. And then the third group would be environmental work, which would be going out and assessing properties, seeing if there's pollutants in the water, in the ground, and cleaning them up. The gypsum mine where that piece of gypsum comes from, I've worked there. And I've also worked in California doing oil and gas exploration. And right now I'm back and I'm trying to find work in environmental.
As a kid, were you always collecting rocks and stuff like that?
I was.
Yeah.
We have a cottage up north. And I used to always walk around and collect rocks and stuff. And I still have a bucket of them up at my cottage that I collected as a kid. The problem was there wasn't a lot of geology in school. I really didn't know anything about geology until I got to university. I had taken geography classes, but they don't really touch on geology. My first year I was in biology, and one of the prerequisites was you either had to take geology or take physics. I really disliked physics, so I decided to take geology instead. And that was my favorite class that year, and the next year I started taking paleontology classes. By the end of my second year, I transferred from being a biology major to a geology major.
And how many years do you have to study to become a geologist?
Probably 4 years, do 4 years, but there, some people go back and do a master's and they do a PhD.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I like this.
So this is dolomite, right?
But it has something
yes.
in it. I cut it open. Let's get some tools to cut it open.
Well, we can do that right now if you like.
How?
I'll show you guys.
Oh, is that coal?
It could be coal, but I also think it could be the same material that's on the railroad tracks.
Oh, okay.
Just like leftover stuff when they've done smelting at a mine. Just like this slag.
Should I put it down right here?
All right. Anyone want to guess what this is?
Look. A pick.
Yeah, this end is a pick. And this end is a rock hammer. Right. So this is what we use when we want to break open a rock to have a look at what it looks like on the inside. For instance, this one here, you can see there's all this sort of discoloration on the rock that you always get on the surface. And if you want to see what the actual color of the rock is, you want to break it open. It's safe to have glasses on because you don't want to get anything in your eyes.
I want to buy something like that, I think.
So it'll look kind of funny for a little while.
Should I do have safety? I want to study rock.
Now the way it's done is you just hold it in your hand, and you just hit it like that.
Why in your hand?
I guess it's just control. You have a better feel for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wanted, you could put it on the ground, but then the rock's gonna fly off as soon as it breaks. So I'm gonna turn around just so you guys don't get
smack in the rock.
You can have a look inside. You can actually see what the actual color of the rock is, which is probably a little bit different than what you see on the surface.
I like the surface.
Does anyone want to try breaking a rock?
Yeah!
Yeah? Put these on. The rocks that we see here were formed about 430 million years ago, which is a long time. I'm going to ask the dinosaur expert. Do you know how long ago the dinosaurs lived?
Thousands and thousands of years ago.
Dinosaurs were on Earth between 60 million and 200 million years ago. So these rocks are twice as old as the dinosaurs before the dinosaurs were here.
Precious.
They were formed during a time period called the Silurian, and the Silurian is just sort of the way geologists define time. They give them sort of names.
I like this one. I want to split it open.
You want to split that one open?
Yeah. And with the treasure, I'll take it.
We'll have time to split rocks when we get up there as well. There's lots of rocks up there, too. The defining feature here in Hamilton is the Niagara Escarpment. And you guys have heard of that before, right? Okay, and we're looking at it right now, and you see it also on the other side of Hamilton, and you see it all the way to Niagara Falls. In fact, the Niagara Escarpment goes all the way to New York, and then it goes all the way to Wisconsin as well. So it's a very wide-reaching geological feature. And where it was formed, the depositional environment was this whole area. 430 million years ago was a very, very shallow sea. And these rocks that we see here now that form the escarpment, they form sort of the outer edge or the outer rim of the basin of that sea.
So it wasn't a glacier then around here?
There have been glaciers around here, yes. In fact, even 10,000 years ago. These were formed a long time before that. The glaciers have had a lot to do with forming the landscape here in southern Ontario. One of the reasons why we see it as an escarpment, and we're going to see it a lot better when we get up to the falls, is that the upper unit of the escarpment is made of dolostone, which is this rock right here. And the lower units are formed of shale. And the shale is more easily weathered than the dolostone is. So you have sort of these recesses forming with the dolostone standing out and the shale being sort of a recess of the shale. And the dolostone eventually collapses and you have the escarpment forming that we see now. So that's why it looks the way it does. Shall we continue?
Okay.
Look at, and you want to look
really
right
close.
Here.
Right up your
really
eye.
Close.
Can you see right here where my finger's pointing?
Yeah.
A fossil.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a fossil. It's called a crinoid. And it was a plant that used to live in the ocean, and that's a part of the stem of it. You just have to have the patience and the time to try to find them. I sort of got lucky. The first rock that I picked up had one.
I've got the steps now.
Come see a fossil.
I found a little fossil once.
Oh, did you? Was it here?
No.
A lot of times they're difficult to tell what it was,
yeah.
Because they've changed so much. So as I was telling you guys briefly before, one of the reasons why the escarpment has formed the way it has is because the upper layers of the escarpment are dolostone, which aren't weathered very easily from the water and from rain. And the lower layers are shale, which are weathered more quickly. And the shale gets weathered away, and then you have huge blocks of dolomite that end up falling off the cliff, and you get a cliff wall forming. So you guys can actually see the different layers. The top, the sort of brown stuff up there, that's the dolostone. And then below that, there's sort of a darker, more fractured layer, and that's the shale. And you can even tell right now that behind the waterfall there, the shale has been weathered more than the dolostone above it. And eventually you end up with big blocks of dolostone falling off like you see right here in the river.
Spencer Creek is coming down here.
Over thousands of years, it's found the sort of the path of least resistance.
Uh-huh.
So it could have been gouged out by glaciers, or it could have been a natural formation in the land. But water is always going to find sort of the easiest route.
Okay.
So if you guys ever come back here again, there are fossils to be found. We don't have enough time to look for them today. But if you spend some time, you can find some pretty neat things here.
What would you look for? What kind of is the key to a fossil?
I guess you sort of train your eye to it.
Yeah.
It's something that just doesn't look quite right in the rock. A lot of times a fossil, so it's been so broken up, and it's been the mineralogy's been changed. You can't really tell what it was, but you can sort of tell that, yeah, there probably was something there. Something was buried. I just can't tell what it is. Sometimes you'll see like that fossil we looked at there, where it was really, really well preserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, considering it's 400
yeah.
million years old. You just sort of have to, I guess, train your eye to it.
What's your favorite place, though, that you've ever been?
Geologically, I really like Death Valley. That was incredible. It was over 100 degrees. You couldn't really imagine that life could exist in Death Valley because it's so off, but there are actually, you know, plants and animals and insects that live in Death Valley. It's a really unique. In Canada, I really like Northern Ontario. That's one of my favorite places.
So I was asking about how long it takes before we can see some changes in the landscape?
On a small scale, the landscape will change every, you know, hundreds of years, every thousands of years. The waterfall is always going to be retreating as it gets weathered. But for a large scale change, probably have to wait around for another ice age, which could be a long time.
Do you think that climate change might have any impact on this geology?
Certainly. I think the global warming thing is real. And there's a lot of people that deny that things are going to happen. You know, even if a small amount of the ice that's locked up in our polar regions melts, you know, it's going to raise the world's sea levels. But even if it raises a few meters, you know, a lot of coastal parts of the world are going to be underwater then. So it is a threat.
The end.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.